Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Well, it's a Meet the Chef edition today, and we have one of the region's finest chefs in the studio with us, and he'll talk about food and preparing food and answer your questions. It's Jamie Ortiz. He's a culinary flair that is the result of many influences. He's classically trained in French cuisine and has a special knack for Asian and Mediterranean fare. He's won numerous awards and worked at some of the finest restaurants in New York City and Chicago, working side by side with the masters before coming to the capital Saratoga region and joining Mazzone Hospitality. His signature is putting a spin on favorite comfort dishes, which many food critics have called passionately playful. But his culinary creations aren't just for grown-ups. Chef Ortiz recently launched a unique kids menu for Mazzone restaurants that he has brought here to share with us today. So let's get to know Chef Ortiz. The number to call is 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. There are many other ways you can contact us. We love your calls. Let me state that at the outset. But you can post at the bottom of today's show page on the Vox Pop section of our website. It's wamc.org/VoxPop. You can comment on our Facebook page, facebook.com/WAMC Radio. You will see a Vox Pop post there. You can tweet your questions and comments at WAMC Vox Pop. You can email us, voxpop@wamc.org. But please call 1-800-348-2551. Yes, Chef Ortiz, that's the longest introduction in the world, but the show is now well underway. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you.
Nice to have you here. So you have a long background in chefdom, in cooking, and what brought you to this region?
Well, actually, I came to the region to go to SUNY Albany. That's where I moved up here to go to school.
Okay.
And I eventually stayed here. I actually embarked on my culinary career from here, going back to New York, where my family lives and everything.
Yeah.
And
you a Mets fan or Yankee fan?
I'm a Yankee fan.
All right. Well, we'll continue anyway. All right.
So I got to pass anyway.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Going back and forth from here to New York I did that for a few years, and then I traveled to Chicago, and then I just wanted to go around learning as much as I could from the best.
Chicago's a great food town, isn't
it? Yeah, very good.
You get anything you want. I remember stumbling through the German section of town, and you can get great, authentic German food even in Chicago. Well, nice to have you in this region, and you're well-known in this area, cooking for adults, but we were talking before the show about this brilliant marketing idea. I don't know if it was your brilliant marketing idea, but bringing the kids in, some of these restaurants we're talking about here, it's not like going to Howard Johnson's and getting a grilled cheese. These are higher end restaurants, and yet you can make them have some appeal for kids and, more importantly, the parents.
Yeah, this came about, it was a bit of my brainchild, but it was something that Angelo took and kind of ran with the minute I came back with kind of the idea. And that was because we were in New York City, myself, my girlfriend, and her three-year-old daughter, and we were, I think she was 2.5 at the time, and we went to a nice restaurant down there, and it was raining out. I remember going in there with a stroller and an umbrella and kind of feeling like, are we going to be, you know, looked at funny here. You kind of get heightened awareness, that alertness, like looking around, seeing what people are thinking. And then they welcomed us so much, and we went, they took us to a table, and then the waiters were all
in the back where no one else was, right?
A little bit off the back, not too far back, but then the waiters were so accommodating, and everybody stopped to play with her, and then they brought over a little kid's menu. They brought over a kid's toy bag and something to keep her busy, and it just didn't seem like the type of place that would have a kit ready to go for kids, not just like crayons and a piece of paper, a full kit with toys and everything interactive for her to take
and
home.
And this was a higher-end restaurant?
Yeah, higher-end restaurant. So and it was for her to take home with her. So I thought, wow, this is really nice. It put us completely at ease. We had a great time. She was completely entertained. And I thought to myself, well, how many other people either don't come to the restaurant because they're afraid that they're going to be shunned for having a child, or do come and feel like we didn't accommodate them like we should, like I felt accommodated. So I came back with the idea that we were going to do these toy kits at 677, and we wanted to do a specialty menu. And then Angelo said, well, I want to do that for the entire company. And then he had these menus printed up, and all of the restaurants now have the same cover for the kids menu, but their own little spin on the content within the menu. And we all have these kits now that we're also doing for kids when they come in. We don't do it for every kid, because sometimes the kids that come in with an iPad and they're all set.
Right.
But some of the younger ones that kind of still appreciate like the little finger traps.
Real life, yes.
Or things like this, or a top to spin or something to play with. So,
you've worked all over the place. Are there restaurants, management says, look, we don't want to discourage people with kids coming in, but we really don't like this.
I know of restaurants that are a little bit like, and it's not so much that they don't like the kids per se. It's more like they're afraid that their other clientele is going to have a different view of what the restaurant is. So they have a clientele that's going there for a particular reason, for a particular experience.
And an ambiance.
And then there's children either off to the side, making well-behaved or not. Some of these management may feel like it's maybe hindering or a detriment to their
and rightfully so. I mean, as the father of five, I can say that there are many times where my wife and I will say, we're not going there. Yeah. No way would I subject everyone else in the restaurant to this zoo.
Yeah. But you see, with our restaurants, our philosophy is that we want energy. We want vibrance. So we've been accused of being noisy at times and accused of being a little bit hectic. But we want that. We want that energy. We want that positive vibe. And I, in most cases, four kids at a table at 677 Prime will be drowned out by the overall noise that's going on. You have the piano, the entertainment, the waiters bustling through. There's nights and there's sections of the restaurant that are quiet and romantic, but there's the center of the restaurant, and I don't think that kids have ever taken away from the experience at 677, even if they were acting up a little bit.
But it'll never be confused with Chuck E. Cheese.
No, never. And then that's one thing I want to kind of make clear. We're not turning this into a kid's
now
restaurant.
Let's talk about that menu. First of all, it's nice. It's a nice menu. It looks good. But what's on it?
Well, what's on the menu is we wanted to come up with a mix of things that, you know, kids love, but at the same time that a parent that's maybe watching out for the child's diet and saying, no, I don't want my kids eating fried food, or I don't want my kids eating. So there's kind of like those two schools. So we came up with a little bit of a balance there, you know, that we have.
You don't have chicken nuggets and grilled cheese and fries?
No chicken nuggets and grilled cheese, but we do have like zucchini fries, so a little fried zucchini with some house-made ranch or some sliders that we, homemade sliders that we do. But then we also have a little healthy option like strawberry yogurt dip with grapes, pineapples, and strawberries to dip in, or like a little fruit and cheese cracker board for them, like a kid's version of it.
Kids probably have fun with that.
And they do. And then we have for entrees, you know, we have chicken breast with cheesy rice and broccoli or veggies. We do have a small version of a fillet. It is a steakhouse after all, so we have to have a steak. So we have a 4.5 ounce filet mignon with veg and rice. And then, you know, we do have the mac and cheese for the kids that love mac and cheese. I know my girlfriend's daughter, Nevaeh, she wants mac and cheese everywhere we go. That's it. Like, that's the official dinner for her.
But if it's done right, it's fantastic.
Right. So we always sneak in some sort of protein with the mac and cheese. Like, yeah, chicken, you have to have two bites of chicken before you got to have a bite of mac and cheese. So,
Fair enough. So. Well, we're talking with Chef Jamie Ortiz of Bazone Hospitality. We're talking right now about, you know, feeding kids and mixing that in with an upper-end dining experience. But any question that you have at 1-800-348-2551, I'm sure Chef Ortiz would be happy to jump in. Let's take a call. Gina in Rhinebeck. Gina, you're on.
Chef, thanks so much for acknowledging that people actually take children to dinner. I think that's a really incredibly important thing. And I just read an article about how the European children have been raised to actually learn how to sit in a restaurant and don't really need all of the extra things that we seem to need in America. And I think that that's maybe a better goal to have, but I appreciate so much your accommodating children. But I wondered about your experience about how people in other countries are able to teach their children patience in both a restaurant or church or a doctor's office without having to constantly give them things to be stimulated.
That's a big overarching cultural question. That's great, Jean.
Well, let me try to attack that one.
Well, I figured I'd kick off the show with that.
Thank you.
But that being said, I think what you're doing is really great because people, as a mother of four, I know that you don't want to intrude on other people's dining experiences, but you do want to teach your children how to behave in a restaurant. So I appreciate that, and I'm going to hang up so I can drive.
Thanks, Gina. We appreciate the call.
Thanks, Gina.
All right, Chef.
Well, you know, it's funny, and the overall perception is that, you know, the European culture maybe has a little bit more of that going on. But I got to tell you that in the restaurants that I've had experience in and that I've had experience opening and running, we have the kind of clientele that also teaches their children this kind of behavior, this kind of etiquette. I can think of one child right now that he's been coming to the restaurant probably 7 years now, and I actually met him at the lodge, and he was a tiny little boy in a little blue suit with a white shirt, and he'd sit there upright, and he ordered foie gras because he liked it, right? And I thought it was odd, you know,
little
child ordering foie gras, and he had a little bit of he was a little too rigid for a child that age. But then now I know him. He still comes in. He's a young teenager now, and he still comes in really well behaved. And he's all the last 7 years, I've just seen him come to the restaurant and be really well behaved. And it was the way that his parents taught him and raised him since a child to do that. I could think of numerous examples of families that their kids are very well behaved when they come to the restaurants. They enjoy it. They kind of play along with the whole etiquette of it. And it's something that can be taught. I do believe that, sometimes parents stay away if they know that their kids are uncontrollable, or if, you know, along the way they just happen to not be able to instill that, and they're not about to start now. But we do have a lot of people in this area, and I think in the United States, that do teach their children how to eat right and how to behave in establishments. It's a matter of the home front, I would say.
You know, you brought up something very interesting, that the kid was dressed in a blue jacket and a suit, if you will. In the old days, when our folks would bring us out to restaurants, we did dress up. And maybe that is part of the behaving. In other words, if you're in your little sport coat, you think to behave. Yeah, you see, Gina got us thinking. Let's take a break here, Zach. We're here with Chef Jamie Ortiz. It's a Food Friday, and we'll be back with more of your calls. Hey, we'll taste some food as well.
Support for WAMC comes from Schenectady Green Market, a community marketplace providing fresh local produce and artisan goods every Sunday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. around City Hall, schenectadygreenmarket.org. The Preservation League of New York State, Albany, New York, protecting New York's historic buildings, districts, and landscapes since 1974, preservenys.org. Pangea, North Bennington, Vermont, catering Southern Vermont weddings and corporate events with menus designed for special occasions, vermontfinedining.com and Facebook. And Kerry Haddad Gallery, presenting Nurture Nature, an exhibit featuring paintings by Jeff Briggs, photographs by Jerry Friedner, and works by Kim McLean, now through Sunday, open daily 11 to 5, kerryhaddadgallery.com.
It's Vox Pop. It's Food Friday, and we're preparing food here. I'm stalling for time. 1-800-348-2551 is the telephone number. 1-800-348-2551. And we are joined today by Chef Jamie Ortiz of Mazon Hospitality. You may know some of the great restaurants Mazon Hospitality has to do with. Prime 677 Prime, which is really an amazing place to be if you've never been. Number to call here is 1-800-348-2551. All right, Chef, what are you preparing here?
So I brought these tempura surf and turf rolls, and these have been on the menu, believe it or not, since we opened 9 years ago. This upcoming April is going to be 10 years, our 10-year anniversary. It's going to be quite a party. But we like, then these came about because, and people asked me, did you find those somewhere? Did you see those somewhere? I was like, no, these just, I just made these up.
Okay, what is it?
It's, you know, we, Angelo at the beginning wanted to be a, have a, he wanted, I want steak and sushi. And we did, we had a sushi platter for a long time.
Yeah.
But I didn't see the way we do business as, like, you know, kind of make sure everybody gets their food quickly and move things right along. I didn't know that the sushi atmosphere was built for that kind of, that speed. You know,
yeah.
Sometimes sushi plates are very, you know, take your time and that kind of thing. And we kind of move along. We're a hustling bustle kind of place. And so we I said, we'll do a sushi platter and then I'll do these rolls that I want to do. And it's a steakhouse. What do you think when you think of steakhouse? You think of steak and you think of lobster, right? So we put steak, lobster, cream cheese, scallion inside a sushi roll and we bread it, tempura batter, bread it and fry it.
Oh my gosh.
And then we serve it with a chili wasabi aioli.
Oh boy.
And you like some pickled ginger? Here's some pickled ginger and wasabi here.
Oh, wow. This is really quite something.
So yeah, it's lobster and filet mignon inside of a sushi roll.
Okay. Oh, well, right, I may never leave the studio here. 1-800-348-2551. You gave me chopsticks. You're looking, Jessica, at the ugly American. A fork will do quite well.
Just in case.
Yeah. I'll give you a microphone as well here. Don't turn it on yet, Zach. That'll be for our producer, Jessica Blaustein-Marshall, and our food taster here on Food Friday. Let's give it a shot. See, now ordinarily I would just use my fingers.
Yeah, that works too. Use your fingers. Go right ahead. They're a bit of a big bite. You're not going to be able to talk much.
Oh, God.
After that bite.
And where can I get these?
Right at 677.
All right.
Actually, we put them on the menu when I opened Aperitivo Bistro in Schenectady for Angelo. We put them on the menu there, and I believe there's still a smaller version of them, just four pieces. We do an eight piece at 677, but Aperitivo you can still get the smaller version of it. And yeah, those are the two places. It's never coming off the menu. I mean, people.
Oh, you shouldn't. Now on the side here, you said you have pickled ginger, and what is this?
Wasabi. It's just.
Oh, I love wasabi. Yeah. All right. You want some?
That's a lot of wasabi, Ray.
I love wasabi. What can you do? And I'm hoping that you give us a call and ask your questions at 1-800-348-2551 so I can eat. What do you think, Jess?
This is pretty much the best sushi I've ever tasted. It's quite good.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
It's the.
Now, I always have this moment when I'm eating sushi where, you know, if the roll is really big and I just want to go for broke and stick the whole thing in my mouth, but then it comes apart and I don't necessarily look like a, you know, well-read young woman when I'm eating sushi.
Yeah, there's no way to get around it, because if it's too big and then you take a bite of it, now it's going all over the place.
Yeah.
And falling
right.
Apart on you. You put the whole thing in and now you can't chew, can't breathe, you know, people are looking at you, you know, so you can't win. But I think the best way to go is go for the whole thing and then just kind of ride it out.
There is no halfway.
I did it in two bites, and it worked. It didn't fall apart. It's very well done.
Yeah.
So there's filet mignon in this and lobster?
Lobster, cream cheese, and scallion.
And you hopefully have copyrighted this or something. Because...
Well, you know, that's the funny thing about recipes. You can't copyright them, because all you got to do is change the salt from a pinch more or a pinch less, and it's a whole different recipe. You know what I mean? You can never copyright food. I mean, you could do ideas, but even that would be... You'd have a long day in court trying to fight that.
It'll be very expensive.
Because every recipe can change. I mean, I could change the wasabi amount in that sauce by this much, and it's all a different recipe.
Now, the kids don't go for this. Your kids' menu would not include something like this, right?
No. We have seen kids that go for it, but I would never put this on the kids' menu. It just wouldn't be an attractive thing for most kids that don't know.
I don't know.
Who knows?
I'm thinking my kids might like this.
Yeah, I mean, it's... fried meat and lobster.
You can't go wrong.
How can you lose? Yeah. Number to call here on the Food Friday is 1-800-348-2551. You can email voxpop@wamc.org. Jamie Ortiz is here, Chef Jamie Ortiz. Jessica, you're using the chopsticks.
Peripherally, yes.
Oh, so you won't use it to eat?
Oh, I'll eat them. I'll use them to eat. I feel like these rolls are too large for the, like, typically I'm looking at rolls that are, like, you know, maybe that big. Can't really see that on the radio,
yeah.
But, like,
you know, actually, if you want to watch,
at my local takeout sushi restaurant, they're very small. But when, you know, they're fancy and gourmet like this, sometimes my fingers just work better.
You know, I wish Alan was here. He is a sushi fancier, and I think he'd probably go to heaven, because you didn't have to tell him there was steak in it, and he would love it. And he'd say, oh, this is the best I've ever had. And
see, very awkward for me. I'm just going to use my hands.
Yeah, I think that's the proper way to do it. This pickled ginger, how do you prepare this? Just how long does it take to pickle?
The pickled ginger is just simple rice wine vinegar, sugar, and shaved blanched ginger. You shave it and then you blanch it, and then you put vinegar and sugar in it. That's it. 24 hours after it's been in, it's good to use, but it sits in the brine for a long time.
That I could eat that by itself. That is delicious. A number to call here is 1-800-348-2551 if you have a question for Chef Ortiz. Now, how many restaurants are you in charge of the kitchens?
Well, you see, until this past November, I was the corporate chef for the company.
Oversee? You went in, troubleshoot and such?
Yeah. When I started with Angela, he had Glenn Sanders Mansion in the Hall of Springs.
Yep.
So pretty much every restaurant since then I've helped open. And the last thing I did was helped open was Tala in Latham by Rumors. But in November, different departments have started getting so big. We have the prime business dining section, which is all of our corporate cafeterias that we do for high-end corporations. And then, you know, there's like seven locations there, including the Global Foundries. And then we have also all of the catering, the large catering company. We had just recently bought Class A Catering. So we pretty much bought our main competitor and we expanded and we have a warehouse and we're building a new warehouse in Clifton Park. So that whole section of the catering has gotten really, become really successful. And then all of our catering venues have been doing really well, plus the restaurants. So, you know, the focus on so many different venues for me was I was just running around all over the place. And we realized that the one thing that we weren't doing was focusing on our flagship, which we consider 677.
Right.
He was running around. I'm running around. And the other thing was that, I was more restaurant focused. As in general, I'm a restaurant kind of person.
Yeah.
And I was doing the menus for catering and banquets, but then not really there to really, I wasn't able to be to every place at once. So I was doing the best I could running around for all these different chefs. At one point, there was like 14 chefs under me at all the different locations. And I just, we decided that I was going to go back to 677 and like still help the restaurant side of things. And we just kind of split the job up. We have now a catering corporate chef. I'm still helping with the restaurants, but I'm general manager and partner at 677 now.
So are you more of a businessman now, or do you get in there and actually hands-on prepare the food?
I'm just at 677. There's a chef at 677. His name is Ken Keen. He does the heavy lifting when it comes to that. But even so, he's still an executive chef, meaning that he has a lot of cooks that do all the cooking for him. He's the overseer, the quality control, the ordering, the staffing, the management. And I'm the general manager of the building now. So now I'm fixing leaks or cooking sushi.
Okay, doesn't the business end of it drive you nuts as an artist? More, I guess you could say an artist, more or less. Doesn't the business end of it say that this is taking me away from my muse?
Well, yes, but on the one hand, but, you know, I believe everything's perspective. And when you look at the whole creative process of, you know, how do you drive more business? How do you keep your staff motivated? How do you generate a more exciting bar menu and more drink and better drinks? And I'm still writing the menus at 677, so I'm still keeping the whole creative process. To me, is looking at the whole picture now, and how do I, you know, make more efficiencies here, do better here, get more happy customers on this end, you know. So if you look at it that way, then you're still being creative every day. It's just It's not just drudgery and work.
That's a very zen-like attitude. 1-800-348-2551. Let's go to Karen in Seneca Falls.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
This is a suggestion rather than a question.
Okay, we can do that.
Since one in 56 children is now autistic, I have an autistic son who is now 15. I didn't get a meal out for years because he didn't know how to behave. And my suggestion is, one night a month, on an off night, open your doors to children with special needs and their families, because it makes all the difference in the world. Thank you. I'm going to hang up now and listen to your response.
You sure you don't want to hang around and talk to Chef Ortiz? Nope, she's gone. Well, what do you think of that?
Well, you know, I mean, I was sitting here thinking about it, and I got... That's something that never occurred to me, and probably because, you know, it's just not something that's immediately in my face. But if you think about it, that's a great thing to do. It'd be a great community outreach type of thing. we have a lot of different venues that we could probably figure out to do something like that. So it's definitely something I would be willing to go back and talk to people about and see what we can come up with. It would be have to be marketed right so that we get a good turnout. You know, you want to have these things to have, be successful.
You want it to be successful, and also you don't want to give up a night of business if it's not going to be successful.
Right. Yeah, it has to work. And but I mean, sounds like if there's more people out there feeling the same way that she was feeling when she called, it would be. So
it's a brilliant idea, and I'm not one I've ever heard before. Yeah. And the number to call here is 1-800-348-2551. I got to tell you, this pickled ginger, I've never had anything quite like it. Is this a standard?
Yeah, you could. That's the reason it has that natural look to it is because that's the one we make. But they come in like the bright pink kind and the and other ones that look similar to that too.
Mm, so good. We have a caller on the line, but I hope the next caller is very long-winded. I'd like to eat some more of the food here. All right, let's go to Susie in Del Mar. Hi, Susie.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
I'm afraid I probably won't be able to indulge you in being long-winded.
Oh, come
I really
on.
Am calling. I'll do my best.
All right.
I'm calling because the previous caller, the mother of a child with special needs.
Yeah.
I too am a mother of a child with special needs, and I second that suggestion. There is a huge community of people who would feel blessed. It doesn't have to be 677 Prime. I know I've been there. We do, my husband and I do most of our big celebrations. We love the restaurant. It's an amazing experience.
You
feel like you're being treated like royalty every time you go. And so it's a beautiful place. And I know that may not be the venue, but I know there are many restaurants under the umbrella. And the community of people who need a welcoming place to take their special needs family members is huge. There's, you know, 1 in 88 children today are on the autistic spectrum. And the blessings that would accrue to those families from having a place they could go to, okay, maybe even not once a month, maybe twice a year, would be so appreciated.
That's I got to tell you, I've not heard of an idea like this, and we have very smart listeners, but this is just an idea that may flower somewhere.
I'm starting to think so.
If that seed could just, grow into something beautiful, and from a business point of view, that there could be an awful lot of publicity and goodwill for the pub, generated from such an event.
Yeah, goodwill. There's money to be made in goodwill, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, I think it'd be all around a great thing for everyone involved. I mean, like you said, it would be a great thing for us publicly, but it'd be also a great thing
like
to
I'm
do.
Looks like I'm
going
to have to hang up because I'm not getting the message anymore. I'm not hearing the. So
okay.
I just want to say thank you for taking my call and hope something good comes out of these calls.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Susie, thanks
thank
very
you.
Much. Number to call here is 1-800-348-2551. It is a Food Friday. We're talking to Chef Jamie Ortiz, who brought some amazing food here today. He is with Mazon Hospitality, 677 Prime being the prime example. Let's go to Russ in Waterford. Russ.
Oh, good afternoon, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I have a question. My daughter recently graduated from Schenectady Community College or Culinary School, but her primary focus, what she really wants to do, is bake. And she's working for a bakery right now, and we're toying with the idea. I don't know if you had any thoughts on where someone would pursue, a baking education, so to speak. I don't know whether I should consider trying to send her to France for a year or maybe Paul Smith's. I just wondered if you had any thoughts on that.
Well, it depends on where she wants to take the baking in the long run. Because in the area, typically speaking, we have a couple of restaurants or facilities that do baking in-house for kind of high-end restaurant-like desserts and things like that,
yeah.
More of pastry chef kind of things. But then there's also, the local bakeries, and if the end result that she wants is to maybe be able to bake for a retail or kind of storefront or cakes or that kind of thing. In the end, it's all really about experience and where you've trained and what kind of notoriety you gain from training in these places. So if she's looking to kind of open a local business or work for a local business as a baker, then you want to start off working at bakeries, going in there.
Well, not to name drop, but right now she works for Dolce & Biscotti in Clifton Park, and she really loves it. It's just that I think that's, I guess it's probably more parental. I think I'm probably more concerned about it than she is. But, you know, I wonder, do people become working for a retail bakery their whole life, or is it a natural progression to want to do something more?
Yeah, it depends on the individual. Like, you know, the food service business, I mean, it is what it is. Sometimes you're just, if you get into cooking, and sometimes that's what you do. You're just a cook, you're a career cook, you cook your whole life, and then you retire. Some people go into business for themselves. Some people go and seek the spotlight of being a celebrity chef, especially in the last decade or so.
Are you going to do that? Are you going to go for that?
I think I'm leaning more towards the business side
okay,
of things.
All right.
I'll tell you that if you want that kind of like that kind of like glamorous career, then maybe working at a restaurant that's really well known. I mean, it would probably take this area is growing in that sense, in the metropolitan sense of like these big restaurants, and becoming a pastry chef at one of these restaurants. She'd have to go somewhere and train. And my suggestion would be to go to a big city like New York or Chicago or any of the big cities with the big restaurants, and just get in there, even work for free or whatever it takes to kind of get in and work under a famous chef. Then when you go that and you kind of come back to an area that kind of admires those same chefs that, you know, everybody sees on television or sees or reads their cookbooks or hears about in the magazines, then you kind of write your own ticket after that. You know, you get to go to demand a higher wage at a nice bakery, that kind of thing.
But I imagine that's much like being a star baseball player. Not everyone, even with talent, is going to reach that level.
Right. It takes a lot more than just talent. It takes personality, of you know, your management skills, your ability to think on your feet. I mean, there's people that are really creative with food, but just can never run a kitchen. When it comes to being a chef,
guys, they
can cook amazing things, but can never run a crew of 15 cooks and getting them all synchronized to do one thing. Same thing with pastry chefs. I mean, in large situations, pastry chefs or bakers run a large crew of people. It's a big operation with a lot of moving parts, and so they need to not only be able to bake and have the basic skills or even the above basic skills to make nice product, but you got to be able to, you know, manage people, to be liked, to be respected, and to be sought after, you know.
Russ, thanks for the call. We're going to take a break here. We are with Chef Jamie Ortiz of Mazon Hospitality. We'll be back and talk about the people part of being a head chef.
Support for WMC comes from GG Trattoria Rhinebeck, Hudson Valley Mediterranean since 2001, expanding their farm-to-table catering with their easy, entertaining seasonal menus online for small impromptu or large gatherings, gghudsonvalley.com. The Tang Teaching Museum and Art Gallery at Skidmore College, providing exhibits, public events, and educational programs for audiences of all ages for the Capital District and beyond, 518-580-8080. Hudson Valley Fresh Dairy, a partnership of 9 Hudson Valley dairy farms, providing fresh local milk, cream, sour cream, and yogurt to our neighbors. HudsonValleyFresh.com. Curran Compliance Services, LLC, Greenwich, New York, hosting a national symposium on life insurance compliance, November 12th through the 14th at the Gideon Putnam Resort, Saratoga Springs, with registration now open, CurranCompliance.com. The AIDS Council of Northeastern New York, for 30 years, helping to prevent new cases of HIV/AIDS by providing confidential testing for those most at risk, AIDSCouncil.org. And Capital Cardiology Associates, introducing enhanced cardiac access for same-day assessment and treatment of patients with active cardiac symptoms, including chest pain, shortness of breath, and palpitations, 518-292-0690.
one 800 348 2551 is our number. 1-800-348-2551. It's a Food Friday. It's a Meet the Chef edition with Chef Jamie Ortiz. And we talk about preparing food and being one of these artistic great chefs. But then the other side of it, when you're the head honcho in a kitchen, you got to deal with people. And I imagine as you came up, you told our last caller, and we'll be back to the phones in just a moment. Hang in there, Ellen. You told our last caller, you have to start at the bottom and work. If you want to be a baker, you got to work for a great baker. I imagine that in your time, you have worked for some chefs who have not been all that pleasant to deal with.
Yeah, when I first started cooking, there was still that, and still is, a lot of chefs out there that are a little bit tough. But you know, it's funny. Sometimes when you get that moment when you really get somebody really goes after you over something, you never make that same mistake again. It kind of sticks, and that's the good chefs that have those moments that are a little bit aggressive, that are doing it for a reason, because they understand what it takes to kind of really engrave things into people's, much like militaristic
like
style.
Coach Bill Parcells,
right,
of the Giants.
That kind of thing, right.
Yeah.
So when it comes under that, those circumstances, those are the great chefs that really make other great chefs come along from those experiences. But then there's the chefs that are, you know, that they're just kind of like, they go fly off the handle because it's really just kind of their own incompetence that they're frustrated with most of the time, and they get overwhelmed easily with all this kind of stuff hitting them from all angles, and they just kind of blow up. And those are the ones that are easily, those are the ones that when they blow up, people quit. And then there's the ones that when they blow up, everybody listens.
So you have to command respect. And so how do you run a large kitchen and keep the turnover from being high and keep everybody pretty satisfied?
Well, I think everybody has to be very clear on that you're passionate about the goal, the end result, which is the guest experience. I think everybody needs to know that you're fair, that you're not egotistical or sadistic, for that matter, and that when things do get a little bit heated or aggressive, that it's warranted. It's for a reason, and I think people, when they get to know you and they believe in you, then those are the times that where they get a pass, because you know it, sometimes it gets passionate, and we call it passion in the kitchen.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. Angela always says, you know, I'm not yelling. I'm just passionate. You know what I mean? So it's funny because it's so true. And at the end of the day, that you show your staff respect, and then you let them know when they did a good job, and you you're in there with them, and you understand what they're going through, and you encourage them, and you teach, and you take the time to teach, and then know that you can't yell at somebody or reprimand someone when you didn't give them the tools in the first place. If you're aware of that,
yeah.
If you know you gave them the tools, you did everything that you had to do, and they're fully supposed to be capable at this point, and then they continue to still, that's when you start going to other measures to kind of engrave things. But if you know that something went wrong and it was due to your lack of training or whatever you needed to do that you didn't do, that's when you hold back and you blame yourself, and you go back and you figure out how you're going to do it better next time.
And that's a learning process for you too.
Oh yeah,
as well.
It's taken years for me to, you know, some people are more naturally inclined to that kind of behavior than others.
We're talking to Chef Jamie Ortiz today. It's a Meet the Chef edition of Food Friday. 1-800-348-2551 is the number. 1-800-348-2551. Let's go to Ellen in Medusa. Hi, Ellen.
Hello there, you two guys.
Hi.
Ray, you can take a munch because I have a short story.
Oh, I love it.
About my grandmother taking my younger brother and I to downtown Albany to shop when it was a vibrant shopping district.
Okay.
And we'd walk over to Jack's Oyster House, and the waiters would perform napkin tricks. Well, not really tricks, but they would make animals out of the napkins. And it just was totally entertaining for my brother and I.
Do you do any of that, Jamie?
I don't think we have servers with those talents at this point. But maybe we can. Maybe they're holding back. Maybe I could ask them. Hey, do you guys?
Hey.
Or maybe we can get them trained. Yeah, I think there's always been that especially in the old school waiters. There's always been that each one of them had their own little niche, that little thing that they did. To take care of customers, to make themselves stand out. And that sounds like something that they were doing there to stand out. Sounds like a fun thing for children. I mean,
yeah.
I know I had one waiter that he used to moonlight as a balloon.
A balloon animal.
And I don't think I ever used those other talents in the restaurant but that might be an idea for. But he's not working with us anymore. But
all right, he was okay. Goofing around too much.
Yeah, but hey,
Ellen, thanks a lot for the call.
Thanks, Ellen.
Thank you.
Bye. Let's go to Anna in Glens Falls. Anna, you're up.
Hi, I just wanted to say that I've known different people that work for the Zone Hospitality, and one of the compliments is if you're fair wage, a lot of the employees have benefits, and it entices them to stay, and they're treated fairly. And Angelo, going back 30 years, is always around and in the kitchen and hands-on. I think that's also a big plus.
Yeah, I agree. That's the key to his success is that, you know, everybody knows that he's as large as the company's gotten, he's still, you'll see him at an event somewhere and he's carrying a bus tub full of plates helping clear. Or, you know, if he'll jump in the line on the kitchen, you know, and make a pasta for a guest that's out in the dining room and just everybody gets out of his way. But he's on the line making pasta or something for somebody. He's always there. There's nothing he wouldn't do in the business. There's no job too beneath
him. That really gives someone a lot of respect. He's a team player, and I think he's fair. I've always heard good things about
That's a nice call. Anna, thanks so much.
Thank you,
You're
Anna.
Very welcome. Have a good day.
Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend. The number to call here is 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. It's a Meet the Chef edition today. Chef Jamie Ortiz of Mazon Hospitality is here. 677 Prime is his base of operations. And is it easy as big-time chef in this city to read your own notices and edge toward the diva, the egotistical chef you see on TV?
I think not really in the stage that we're on. I mean,
you still get good notices.
So. Yeah, I and it's always nice, but you know, there's always a reason behind it. We're trying to promote the restaurant. We're trying to make sure that we're in people's on people's minds and the public eye, making sure that they all come to us and they think of us as the best. And you know, it's all everything that's happened as far as, like, you know, the notoriety that I've gotten has been a result of our marketing team. I mean, our marketing team thinks of ways to put me out there, to expose me to all the different people and give me a chance to show people what I can do. But it's always in the name of making sure that our restaurants are thought of as thought of highly and always on people's radar to come with us. I think that some chefs in other regions that are maybe closer, you know, to the television kind of things and doing programs, even those guys, most of them that you see on television, most of them are really even keeled, really humble guys. And there's a couple, you know, that, you know, are notorious for being a little
bit. I've met a couple.
Yeah. But the majority of the ones you see, they're really nice guys. I've met a lot of celebrity chefs, and I just know that for the most part, most of them are humble guys that, you know, just do a really good job at what they do.
When you go home, do you say, hey, listen, I'm going to open up a TV dinner, I can't cook one more thing? Or,
you know, it's funny when I go home.
I don't talk when I go home. In other words, I've talked all day. I'll sit down and I'll read a newspaper, you know?
I got to tell you that I love to cook, so it's never, and this is going to sound cheesy, but it's never a task for me. It's never a thing. Matter of fact, I overdo it every time. And I literally go home, and I probably shouldn't eat this late, but when I go home and my girlfriend says, I'm hungry. Anybody around says, I'm hungry, I get up and I go make something. And I can make, you know, I can make pretty much something out of nothing. She goes, no, there's nothing to eat. I said, watch. And then I go in there and I come back because I love it. I love going in there. The less stuff there is for me to play with, the more satisfaction I get out of coming up with something great out of nothing. So I cook all the time at home. And, you know, because I've been doing this for so long, like, it takes me probably a lot less than the average cook. And I'm probably a little messier than the average cook because I go so fast. But I clean up fast, too, you know. So it's a – but – I can make dinner every day of the week.
And do you do all the cooking, or does the girlfriend cook too?
You know, she's an amazing cook, so that she gives me a break every once in a while. Yeah. But then she's like, "Get out of here! Don't come here."
Do you end up saying, "Well, you're doing that wrong, honey"?
No, I learned that a long time ago.
Never do that. No. She's doing it all right.
Oh, no, strictly encouragement the whole time.
that's true.
But she doesn't need much of the false encouragement because
really?
she's truly an amazing cook.
Good save, Jamie, because if she's listening, you're in trouble. 1-800-348-2551 is the telephone number. 1-800-348-2551. Let's talk about steaks. You're chewing. All right, let me give the phone number one more time. 1-800-348-2551. We're joined by Chef Jamie Ortiz today. Who is, it's been a lot of fun, and he brought some delicious food here. And my favorite currently is this pickled ginger, and I've never had this before. Now, this is something
you can get
people eat it all the time, but I've never seen
anywhere.
It.
Yep.
No, I forgot my question. What was I saying? I can't remember.
We were cooking at home.
Yeah, you're cooking at home, and let's talk about steaks. That's what I wanted to know.
Oh, steaks, yeah.
Okay. I like a New York strip steak. What's the best? When you're in, you guys don't have wood fires, right?
No.
So how do you cook it the best, most authentic way in your shop?
Well, one of the things, the cooking's the one thing. But people always wonder, why are your steaks, why do they cost what they cost? What's the difference between your steaks and the steaks I can get at the supermarket? There's two major things there. One, we have USDA prime beef, which is only 1-2% of all the cattle produced in the United States is graded USDA prime. Now that's not a.
Who does the grading? The USDA.
The USDA, yeah.
And so they look at every piece of meat and say this is 1 in 100, and this will be prime.
Well, the thing is, not all cattle that goes to market. Goes through the USDA grading system.
Right.
They have to go through the inspection system, but they don't have to be graded. Graded is something that is an additional cost to the producer. So, but graded beef, usually you go to the supermarket, you get choice. It goes prime, choice, select, standard, and then after that, it goes into commercial, cutter, canner. That's the kind of stuff that you'll never see on the shelves anyway.
Yeah.
It goes to food service, it goes to a lot of different things. But what we have is the top 1% of that, the USDA prime Midwestern beef. It's all grass fed. All cow goes out to all beef goes out to pasture, but it's how they get finished. It's the finished 40-day grain lot. They call grain feed. Most of it's corn, and that's what gives it that marbling, that fattiness, and that's what the American palate's used to, for that sweet kind of fat.
We've talked about grass fed, and the upshot is it's almost too lean.
Right, it's almost too lean, and it has that kind of vegetal, kind of like gamey kind of flavor to the meat. There's other countries, for example, Argentina and some European countries, that's the preferred flavor profile. But in America, the preferred flavor profile is that fatty, sweet sweetness from the corn. We have is USDA Midwestern grain-finished prime beef.
All right, let's go. Take a call? Let's go back to the phone. Yeah. Jay in Worthington, Mass. Jay, you're up.
Oh, Ray, I just wanted to say I was listening to the Moth Radio Hour with tears in my eyes, and then Vox Pop comes on, and you got me drooling listening to you eating.
Yeah, you should be drooling. This is some good stuff, man.
since I'm on it, I just want to. I raise cows. I raise beef.
Okay.
And I raise grass-fed beef, and I grew up. My grandparents had a cattle ranch, a big cattle ranch,
mm-hmm.
and so I've eaten a lot of beef, and the grass-fed beef that I've raised, it really depends upon the breed. I raise Devon Highland Cross cows. All they ever get is grass, and they grade out at choice. The flavor profile is quite different. Americans are used to corn-fed beef. But the amino acid profile of grass-fed beef, I understand, is equivalent to salmon. So I figure, I'm not going to, no matter how much I eat, it's not going to be a problem for me. So that component makes a big difference.
But, Chef, how do you make that, when you're cooking grass-fed beef, how do you make sure it's tender? Does it have to be rare all the time?
When it's cut, when it's butchered, the butcher will know by how it cuts. So, I've only been doing this 3 years myself, but he can tell me, when it's cut, how it's going to be. And, I haven't had a problem with it being tough, and I tend to eat lean beef, so I'll cook, and I get the steaks thick. They're 2 inches at least, and I always, they're rare, so it's high heat, quick cooking, and then when it's cold the next day, it's like eating Toro. I mean, it's cold, it's as good as it is hot, if not better. So, I can't say good enough things about, too good about grass-fed beef. Okay. I think it's excellent, but it really depends because, some places it doesn't come out that way. And I've had friends buy grass-fed beef in stores and they're not pleased with the result. But I think the thickness of the cut and the finishing, whether it's on corn or pasture, finishing is everything. They've got to have the back fat.
All right. Hey, Jay, we're out of time, buddy. Thank you for the call, though.
Okay.
We'll appreciate the input. Do you ever cook the grass-fed beef?
I do, and I got a lot to say about beef altogether.
Beef is good.
Beef is awesome, but when we come back, maybe I'll go back.
Definitely come back, and let's talk about the beef that is fed beer and massaged, because I think that's pretty good too. All right, this was a lot of fun. Chef Jamie Ortiz was our guest. Support comes from the Bee's Knees Cafe, Preston Hollow, New York, serving weekend lunch and Sunday brunch, weekly farm tours, catering on or off-farm, heather-ridge-farm.com. Sundog Cider at Sulaqua, locally produced hard cider from New York Hudson Valley apples, unfiltered, naturally gluten-free, handcrafted at a revitalized solar-powered mill in Chatham, New York, sundogcider.com. Cafe Capriccio, Chef Jim Rua, working to preserve and maintain the traditions of Italian cuisine and hospitality since 1982 on Grand Street in Albany, New York, cafecapriccio.com. And Ashokan Center, Olive Bridge, presenting the All-Star Guitar Summit with Chris Eldridge, Happy Traum, Matt Munisteri, Mamie Minch, Ari Isinger, and J.D. Pendley, Sunday, July 13th, ashokancenter.org. Thanks again to Chef Jamie Ortiz of Mazone Hospitality. Thanks to Zachary Malloy, who served up all the fine controls in the control room. Colleen O'Connell was our phone answerer, and our producer, Jessica Blaustein-Marshall. I'm Ray Graff. Hope you have a great weekend. Alan will be back on Monday with Medical Monday.